Yeah.
So a lot of us have to go and make the best, as you know.
Yes.
So how can we maintain like the boundary of emotional chastity, like while listening? Because you know, like people get attracted to each other with sharing your heart and listening. Like how can we, maintain the boundary?
Well, the first step and the most important one is what you've just done, being aware of it. So being aware that there can be an attraction that develops, it is amazing when we really listen how much we fall in love. I said it before, I say it again, I fall in love all the time. I mean, I just, every person is so beautiful. And when we really listen and make space for people, it's moving, it's very moving. So as we develop in, in the virtue of chastity, we're able to do that a little bit better without losing ourselves in that. But just being aware that that's going to happen. Our emotions are going to get involved. There's going to be an attraction that takes place. And so we have to know our own boundaries. It's not going to be the same for every person. Even for somebody who's in a celibate vocation, that's we need to keep boundaries of, I have to be careful how much I listen to this person. Or maybe it's not healthy even for me to be a spiritual director for this person because the attraction I feel is so strong. We just have to be aware of that. And that's going to be, again, something that you got to kind of play out over time. There isn't going to be a wrong answer. I mean, you can develop very deep and beautiful friendships with people. And again, there's going to be a need for perhaps to make some of the boundaries clear and be careful about flirting or, well, and then another danger, I think I mentioned this the other day too, is we have to be really careful about not using people. It's true that when we listen and love somebody, it feels good. But we can't go and seek people out to use them to feel good. So when we try to use somebody to get something out of it, that's also a place where that can turn into a codependency and get twisted up. So, but I think just knowing that, if you're not in a position that you can develop a friendship with some intimacy, or the other person is not in that position, then you got to set those boundaries on the relationship. So, but just that you have the category in mind and you're thinking about that is going to help you. And that's where also prayer is very important. Spiritual direction or somebody you can be honest with is very important to say, okay, I'm lying to myself. I'm not really in a position to, I can't keep doing this. This is too hard. I need to set some more distance. So we just want, you need to be honest with yourself. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Just your thoughts on a situation when you're listening to someone and you're there for them and they've got a problem and you are like seeing this and listen and you give them some practical advice but then they don't take it or they don't try to practically get out of that situation. So you're just listening to them and it gets a bit exhausting sometimes when they're not helping themselves. Like what tips could you give us to maintain the the loving heart to listen to them?
Well, I think awareness of our own tendency to do that can be very helpful. I think we all know what it's like to know what we ought to do and not do it. And we don't necessarily do that because we have ill will. There's just a weakness there. So I think learning to see people's weakness and to love that weakness. And sometimes we can bring that explicitly into the conversation and say, well, first of all, we have to ask the question, did they even hear or understand what we were encouraging them to do? Sometimes there isn't even a comprehension. They didn't register it. So we can find out, so you know that it's bad to have sex with this person and you're doing it anyway. Tell me what's going on there. So really trying to understand where the struggle is. And someone says, well, I'm really committed to doing that and then I get into this situation and then it's like I lose my mind. Okay, so that's a different... understanding some of those dynamics can be helpful to not just presuming that's where our interpretation can go astray. Oh, they just don't care, or they're just using me, or they're just dismissing everything I say. That might be true, but it might also not be true. And so understanding it more deeply can be helpful. And probably the reality is there is a struggle, there is a weakness. And what they don't need is our condemnation. And what they do need is more love. And sometimes it takes a lot of time. And it's precisely in knowing I failed again and again and this person never gave up on me. Now that's something that we ought to get in childhood. But as Vicky was talking about, with a lot of broken families, and even families that are intact, but you know, a mother that's distant or a father that's distant, really in childhood we develop a sense of our goodness when we fail repeatedly and our parents recognize that we failed and they continue to love us unconditionally. And sometimes somebody hasn't really gotten that, and they're, you know, we're doing developmental work with people. The girl that I mentioned who's, you know, seeking out attention now, and she was orphaned at, you know, age one or something, adopted, and in the last 20 years, both her mother and father, adopted mother and father, have died. It's like, oh man, how much love does it take to backfill what parents are meant to do? I don't know. So we also have to pace ourselves and recognize that, you know, we're ultimately not responsible for people's decisions. They're going to make their own decisions and their own path. And what seems like repeated failures from our part, there may be profound victories from God's perspective. They're missing the mark at these kind of big, obvious levels, but there may be little ways that they're receiving love, that they're making the struggle, that they're making an effort that God knows and we don't even see. And all of that is what they're going to be judged on, not these kind of big failures that they actually don't have the psychological freedom to make the proper decisions in. So anyway, we have to allow ourselves to really care and to be moved, but also to leave a certain detachment. People are going to keep doing what they're doing, and so we have to pace ourselves too and make a determination. I know that over enough experiences, I've seen that sometimes it seems like our love is not really reaching the right place, but it has to fill up to a certain level, and then it actually changes an exterior behavior. So every time I can love somebody in a failure, when they haven't taken my advice or when they've, you know, made another bad decision, I know, even though I don't always see it right away, I know that there's love that's filling up some spaces in them. And so just try to recommit myself. But then prayer is also really important there as well. Ultimately, it's God's love that we have to give them. So we need to be filled up enough with that. We need to keep entrusting them to the Lord and to His love. So, but yeah, it's a hard situation. Great question. Yes. Yeah, that's a great question. I was sharing a lot about how to facilitate a good kind of listening. There's a point at which our listening also needs to perhaps stop a certain direction that someone is taking or redirect that because it's going in a direction that's dangerous. There are a couple of categories that are worth developing in terms of understanding. Gossip is a word that covers a lot of different things. But there's a gossip which is speaking the truth, but is destroying someone's reputation. And so just because she slept with him doesn't mean you need to tell everybody about it. We can cover, as the story of Noah and his sons go, you know, we can cover our father's nakedness. Just because Noah got drunk doesn't mean that everybody needed to know about that, right? So that's not enabling, anyway, make all of these different distinctions. But the point is, we can say things that destroy people's reputation. And that's a certain kind of gossip. Even though what we're saying is true, that doesn't mean it make it okay to share it. So that's called detraction. Now there's another kind of gossip, which is saying something which may or may not be true. Maybe we've twisted or exaggerated. It's another way of destroying somebody's reputation. And where there isn't truth, that's called calumny. So that's yet another set of things. Now the shifty part of that is when we make certain interpretations, which are our own interpretations. So, let's make something up, but that will also be meaningful to you. You know, the boss just assigned me to this particular team because she hates me. Okay. That's an interpretation, right? And we have to, and that's another area, which is really what we use that word judging a lot, but it's when we interpret people's motives that we are judging them. So this person slept with that person. That can be a fact. It's not a judgment, it's a fact. And to say that that's wrong, if they're outside of marriage, is also a fact. That's a certain kind of judgment. But to say, well, she slept with him because she just wanted to get back at her boyfriend. Okay, now that's an interpretation. Now, she might have told me that. That only still gives me one more degree of confidence that it's true. We say all kinds of things. We don't even understand our own motives half the time. But anyway, so interpretations, judging motives, that's, again, a really sinful area. So when people are sharing things with us and they're really starting to go in that direction of judging, you know, this dynamic is happening on the team because of this reason. This person wants to hurt this person, or, you know, this person was upset about the bad talk that they gave, and this person made a bad comment about them, and now they're passive-aggressive attacking whatever, you know, and all this. We can create these whole scenarios, which may be completely wrong. They may be 10% wrong. They may be 90% wrong. But it's important to be careful about all of that. Now, in terms of a one-on-one listening, where there's a real confidence and friendship, again, there's some categories that we have to work in. Sometimes people need to share things, and we talk about venting. Now, I can tell you for myself, it's never helpful for me to vent. If I'm venting, I'm going into sin. That's just me personally. If I get into that negative mindset where I'm making negative interpretations and I'm just speaking those things to somebody, even to my spiritual director, I know that it's not good. Because I can always do a better job of seeing a charitable interpretation. I can always do a better job of contextualizing. Now, I might need to talk about how I was hurt by something, but I can do that without saying that somebody intended to hurt me. Again, that's me. Now, there are other people that are, I can see it's genuinely helpful for them to vent. They may make all kinds of wild accusations and, you know, all these kind of crazy interpretations, and I'm like, what world are you living in? But at the end of it, they don't hold any grudge. They don't hold on to those interpretations. They feel better about it. They feel listened to and understood, and they feel able to go on. There really are those kinds of differences. So we can be a little bit sensitive to that in our listening. Sometimes we need to give space for that. If you're listening to me and I start venting, you need to stop me and say, you know, have you prayed about this? Like, is this a good direction to go in? So we just have to learn, you know, we can learn each other that way in terms of some of that level of conversation. Now that's a one-on-one situation within a confidentiality. It can be okay to share things that other people have done in a one-on-one situation that's not going to spread all over the place. If that person is also knows the situation enough that we're not going to destroy somebody's reputation. So again, that destroying the reputation is the critical piece of whether something is a sinful gossip, detraction, or calumny. If we're talking to somebody about a teammate, and that person has seen all the stuff, and they know all the stuff, they know the weaknesses of the teammate, they understand the whole situation, then there can be a place for sharing something so that we get a better insight about it. You know, this just happened to me, this person just like slammed the door in my face, and I feel really hurt about that. I don't know what just happened. Well, what did you say to him? Well, I told him they were stupid. Well, I have an idea. So we might be able to share a situation with somebody who knows kind of the players in it, and we can use names then, and it's going to be fine. We're not going to destroy the person's reputation in sharing that. Now, again, it's important to hold that in confidence, and we have to check ourselves. Am I just trying to get back at somebody by telling this person what that person did and, in effect, hurt them by doing that? Well, we have to be aware of our own motives in sharing that. And in listening to it, we need to be listening for that kind of thing. And depending on where that is, we might be able to say to somebody, are you just trying to get back at them by sharing this? You know, or what are you trying to do in sharing that? Sometimes we can call people out, again, when there's a certain level of familiarity and that friendship is there. When people are just negative, there are different ways to handle that. One of our confreres helped me early on in my time as a monk here. He would just complain about everything. And sometimes it was kind of funny, but I got pretty tired of listening to it. And I tend to be, I like try to affirm things and be nice to people. But I learned with him, I can really just cut him off and start another line of conversation. And he didn't think twice about it. I figured out stuff that he was fantastic with history. And so he'd be talking about, how this stupid parish has this terrible music and is, doing all this stuff. And I was like, so tell me again about the French Revolution. And he would just, switch right into the French language. It's like, great. So sometimes people are like that they're not actually attached to what they're saying, and their negativity is just kind of their default mode of communication, and you can just, be really unsubtle about it. In other cases, you can wait for the stream of negativity to take a pause and start another, read any good books lately? Take another direction. Sometimes you can rephrase things. They're pointing out, I just can't believe this pastor, he only has masses on 3 days a week, and he's, just doesn't hear confessions. And I went to him and asked him if, he could help me, and he just closed the door on me. And sometimes you can say, well, it was really beautiful the way that he welcomed us in last Sunday, and gave us lunch when we didn't have any food. And sometimes you can contextualize the negativity also and sort of shine a light on what's good and bring things in that direction. So anyway, I give a lot of different possibilities to your question, which is a really important one, as you say, for community. I'll just say it flatly. The number one sin, I would say, that Pope Francis has condemned in his time as Pope has been gossip. He is constantly bringing up the damage of gossip. Nothing destroys community more than gossip. So I'll just say that to everybody, to be really attentive to that. And then if it would be a good thing to work into your culture that you're ready to be called out, that you want to be called out if you start going in that direction. And that you're ready to do that for each other. Hey, gossip, you can create a word for it or whatever. Like, ding, subject change. This is a bad direction. We're going the gossip direction. And we should really support each other and help each other in just closing off gossip where it obviously is gossip. Christina. Right.
So to go to your team leader, if that person you're persisting in listening, go to the next one up. Like, we actually have a structure to help. We actually want to help. We do want to fix things that are problems. I want to affirm that if we're all complaining amongst ourselves, this works. Mission staff just supports us, it works out to mission staff. The support staff just helps with the LA team. They keep having these problems, blah, blah, blah. We're just talking amongst ourselves. Why are you complaining? Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, thanks for that correction. Yeah, and Pope Francis has said that too. He's said that to priests in particular on a number of occasions. He said, you know, if you have a problem, talk to somebody who can do something about it. Talk to the bishop, talk to the religious superior. Don't talk to each other and just, you know, cause those things to break down. And again, it's the sin is a matter of damaging reputation, not just saying negative things. So as Christina said, it's not, you know, you're talking to the superior who knows the people or is supposed to know the people. So either way, they should know what's going on and can then be in a position to work through the situation. Forever? Oh. Oh, you lost all your things.
Oh, it's just a problem.